Psalm 50. The mighty God, even Yahweh, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sun. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God will come and will not keep remaining silent. A fire will devour before him, and it will be like a great storm all around him. So, we tend to think that God is somehow silent, that he's not responding to us, that we don't see him, but the great position of faith is that he will come. And from Zion, that's Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, God is going to literally shine forth. He's not going to remain silent. He is going to visibly be seen, and the heavens are going to tear apart, and the Son of God is going to return, Jesus. Just as he said, or the angels said when he went into heaven, that this same Jesus will so come in the same way as you've seen him go into heaven. He will call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints, my special ones, together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So, when we die, we're unconscious. We don't go to heaven, we're just unconscious in the grave, we have no immortal soul. But when Jesus comes back, there will be the resurrection of the body and the judgment. And there wouldn't be any point in having a resurrection and a judgment if, in fact, when you've died, you just go to heaven and get your reward straight away. We are given eternal life at the day of judgment. Jesus comes, he says, having my reward with me. And Hebrews 11 says that all the faithful will receive what God promised, which is eternal life in the kingdom, at the same time. And yet it says he will call to the heavens and to the earth that he may judge his people. I think the call to the heavens is that when Jesus comes, he won't come alone. He says he's coming with all the holy angels with him. So then Jesus comes with the angels and he's going to call to them, it's time to go. And they will come with him, and he'll call to the earth. All the believers who've died will then be resurrected, and the judgment will involve the angels. And the heavens will declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Well, Jesus will be the judge, but Jesus is not God himself, but he will judge on God's behalf. And so in that sense, he functions as God, although he's not God himself. Listen, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, even your God. I won't reprove you for not having offered sacrifices or burnt offerings continually, because I will take no bullock from your house, nor goats out of your folds, because every beast of the forest is already mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild animals of the field all belong to me. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I really eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and fulfill your promises to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll save you, and then you will glorify me. So, what God is not so much interested in is looking at a list of rules, like I have to offer these sacrifices, these animals, and going and doing it and thinking, yep, that's it, I've done my thing. What God really wants is thanksgiving, is a grateful heart. When you shut your eyes, not because anyone tells you to, but because you want to, and you say, thank you, God, so much. This is why it's so important to get in the habit of praying for our food. And yet, by the same token, not just using the same old words, rattling off a prayer of thanks for the food, but to actually be thanking God from the bottom of our hearts. This really pleases him. And the other thing that pleases him, he says, is to call upon me in the day of trouble. So if you've got a problem, a crisis, don't think about, oh, let me call my mother, let me call my son, let me sort this out, oh, let me look for some advice on the internet. Oh, all of that didn't work. Okay, God, could you help me? No, call upon him in the day of trouble first and foremost. Go to God first in prayer, and all other human help is all secondary. God really loves that. That's what he wants more than all these sacrifices. But to the wicked, God says, and what have you to do to declare my word, or that you should take my covenant into your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and throw my words behind you? So you can, with your lips, pray to God and claim to be God's people, when actually your attitude to his word is that you're just throwing it on the ground. And just like we all like to be listened to, we don't like it if we're talking and somebody's not paying attention, and we're very frustrated if they don't understand us properly. So this is God's attitude to his word, and he's speaking to us through the Bible. The Bible is the word of God to man. And if we're just not interested in it, or we think, I know all that, well, this is the same as talking to somebody and they're not listening, or they're playing with their cell phone, or they're looking out the window, or they're just looking at the television, and you say, hey, hello, can you listen to me? Take me seriously? And he goes on in telling the wicked what's wrong with them. When you saw a thief, you consented with him, and you've shared with adulterers. You've given your mouth to evil, and your tongue deceives. You sit and you speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. The same bad things about your brother is awful. And again, it is matters of the mouth and of the heart. The words we speak, these are what are so significant to God in the final judgment. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was completely somebody just like you, but I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes. So the day of judgment, God is going to show that, look, I don't forget, I never forgot anything. And for the wicked, he's going to remind them of all the bad things they did. Do you remember you sat there and you slandered your brother? In that chair, that's why it says, you sat and slandered your mother's son. Now, this is, I think, picked up in the Lord's parable when he says that for the wicked, he's going to say, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. He's going to give people a flashback. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. Give them a flashback to when they refused to help the brethren of Jesus. And yet I don't think it will be so for the righteous, because it will be the opposite for them. He'll go through all their good works. Well done, when I was hungry you fed me. Flashback. No, Lord, that wasn't me, they're going to say. And he's going to say, yes, it was. So for us who are in Christ, our sins have been dealt with. I don't think there will be like a going through with us of all our sins as if all your good deeds sort of balance out your bad ones. That's not how it's going to be. We're saved by grace, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But for the wicked, who are not covered by faith in God's grace, who've refused the righteousness of Jesus, then it will be a going through, it seems, of all their bad works, their slander, their bad language, their agreeing with a thief, etc. And God says, you thought I was like you, but I'm not. In other words, we do bad things, or they did bad things and didn't repent about it, didn't take it seriously, and thought that the passage of time would somehow sort it out. Oh, yeah, that was years ago. That was a long time ago, you know. Well, yeah, that's how we think. But then we're going to find, or they're going to find, that in the last day, God is not like them. God doesn't think, oh, yeah, well, that was a long time back in the guy's life. Yeah, don't worry about it. No, because God doesn't have a memory that fades like we do. And the passage of time does not, as it were, atone for human behaviour. Now consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his way of life properly and uprightly, I will show the salvation of God. So it's all about your way of life and structuring your way of life around God's things, around praise and gratitude to God. Obvious example would be that you structure your life so that you pray regularly, so that you pray at mealtimes, even with your eyes open. It may be that you're with people at school, at work, where it's very difficult to have contact with God, it seems, to openly pray before people who are unbelievers. Go to the toilet. That's what I used to do. And shut the door in the cubicle and pray to God. just for a few minutes. This is the kind of structuring of our way of life. Ordering your way of life in an upright way, he says. This is the sort of thing that really pleases God and will lead to our salvation.